One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hi, this is Sister Michaela Johnson from the University of Utah Institute of Religion, and this is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be with the birds, Sister Bird and Elder Bird, whom I love dearly. I'm actually a service missionary, and they are my service mission leaders. I was a transfer missionary, so I didn't know what that term was until I actually transferred. I didn't know that you could go from a proselyting mission to a service mission. I wasn't super familiar with that. And so my experience transferring, it was very quick, very scary, and very hard. And for me to have come home to familiar faces, my old bishop and his wonderful wife and people that I knew, and you guys were so warm and welcoming. And I think for anyone that's transferring, making that really hard transition and really hard decision to go home and to change your service entirely, to have such knowledgeable and confident and kind people be my welcoming home party, it was amazing. And I think like my service has really been changed by what you guys have done. And so I am forever grateful for what you guys do. And I imagine it's pretty hard, pretty fun. What is your favorite part about your calling? And what is maybe something that you're looking forward to not having to do?
You know, for me, and I've said this many times to Sister Bird, that I actually have a couple of favorite things, but one of the favorite things that I really enjoy about my calling is when we get, whether it's a transfer missionary or a missionary who just turned in his papers to be a service missionary, I love the opportunity to be able to go and visit with them and talk about a mission and meet their family and just see the excitement. And it's not always excitement, because transfer missionaries are, like you say, are kind of nervous and scared, and there's a lot of different things going on. And, you know, some of these missionaries at transfer home are kind of broken a little bit. Not a little bit, quite a bit. And but that's one of my favorite things, is to be able to talk about missions and just share my testimony about how important missions are, whether it's a proselyting mission or a service mission. I love to be able to share that with families. And then the other thing is just seeing missionaries grow and change. We've seen missionaries who don't speak, who don't talk, don't like to be around people, and all of a sudden you can't keep them quiet. They just love their mission. They love what they do, and you can just see it evolve. And that's what, I just love that part. So
yeah, I love that also. I love watching these young elders and sisters just truly become true disciples of Christ. And like Elder Bird said, since the transfer portion hasn't always been there. Like that's kind of just a couple years new. At first we didn't have that, but we've had Zoom calls with some missionaries in the mission field, with a mission president and parents and ourselves and a stake president, and to see these missionaries who are just so, like, they don't want to give up, and they're not giving up. They just need something else, you know, so that they can come home and feel at peace with their decision. And, you know, we'll get off those calls sometimes and be like, that missionary is just hurting, and it hurts me that they're hurting so bad, and I just want them to know how much love we have for them immediately, and how much love our Savior has for them, and that He's there for them. And we want them to be able to see that they can, you know, they can be healed, and that they can still serve, and that their assignment can be customized to them. And that's my favorite part, is just that no one missionary is the same, and that everyone is needed in the gathering of Israel. And President Nelson said, it doesn't matter where you serve, but how you serve, and, you know, are you going to be a dedicated disciple of Christ? And just seeing these young missionaries who are struggling, or not struggling, but just truly lay down their lives and become dedicated disciples of Christ.
I can definitely testify to what you just said. Like, that really hit me, because I think for me, when I decided to come home, it almost felt like my mission was taken away from me. Just the circumstances that caused me to decide to come home, I felt like that ability to serve was stripped away from me, kind of in a way. And I know that service missions and your calling especially is so divine, because the peace that I felt knowing that I wasn't being kicked off my mission, I wasn't done, because at the time I had made it about a year in the field and I wasn't ready to be done. And so this whole program is amazing, like the peace that it provides and the ability that you guys have to provide that option to say, like, you don't have to be done. Like, your mission is not over. And the best part is actually just begun, because I loved my proselyting mission, but having a schedule that is completely tailored to me, and I get to be with my family, go on family vacations, but also I get to go to district council and zone conference. I had no idea. But you get to be the deliverer of that amazing news and say, hey, you're not done yet. And I think it's so amazing. And even in my time, the setup and the program has changed a lot. Like, we are integrated, and an integrated mission is something that I had never heard of before. Mm-hmm. So do you want to kind of explain what an integrated mission is and how that came about? Because you were there when that first started.
Yeah. So we were part of the pilot program with the church. There was a couple missions in Utah before us, but we are part of the Salt Lake City West mission. And by the beginning of next year, all missions will be integrated into teaching missions, all service missions. But when a couple of the missions in Utah were first, integrating, a couple of our missionaries kind of were stressed about it. And like, we don't want to integrate. What does that mean? What is it going to do for us? And we said, let's not panic yet. Like, let's wait and see. The Lord, Lord knows.
We're still in the training process.
Yeah. and we've seen the Lord's hand in this program the whole time. And we know that He knows exactly what missionaries, need. And so when we first started being integrated, we got the news, and weren't able to tell the young missionaries yet, but we had support leaders and service mission leaders. We met together with the mission president and kind of developed a plan, lots of Zoom meetings together, and really, really, really could feel the Lord's hand in how it was going to work. And so as an integrated mission, now our missionaries are able to go out and teach with the teaching missionaries if they choose to. We attend zone conference with them, have zone activities, have quarterly interviews with a member of the mission presidency. As service mission leaders, we meet with President Spencer and his wife at least once a month in a Zoom meeting, but other meetings, come about too. But I think it's just more people to love our missionaries and more opportunities for them,
I think one other part of it too is that it helps these missionaries who are transferring back, and also those that have been called, but mostly those that are transferring back, make them feel like they're still part of a mission instead of just coming back to, coming back home and it doesn't really have a name. Where am I serving? What city am I in?
Yeah.
So this kind of makes missionaries feel like they are still part of a mission, and that they're still wanted, they're still needed, and, they still have a mission president who's still going to care about them and going to help them with interviews and things like that. And, it's interesting because you would think that the mission president would still take care of, just like on a proselyting mission, that the mission president would be the one that would take care of temple recommend interviews and things like that. But, they still have to meet with their stake president and their bishop. And
even so, more people to love.
Yeah, so exactly. And that's the whole thing. It's like, you have so many people that love you. I mean, between not just your family, but then you have your service mission leaders, you have your zone, your district, and then you have your bishop, your stake president, your mission president, his wife. So it just adds more people to love and care about you than just, being stuck in an apartment with, your companion, and you have to tell everything to your companion. Now you have a whole family behind you that can help guide you and help you through anything that you're dealing with. So,
I definitely agree. When I was first considering going home, I was like, this is gonna suck. think most people that are confronted with that internal question, like, do I need to go home? I was anticipating a huge whiplash. Like, you are so regimented and you're so scheduled and you are so, like, proselyting. You wake up same time, you do the same morning routine every single day, and it's very rigid, the schedule. And in some ways, that can be really good. Like, I didn't ever feel that I was getting monotonous, even with the rigidity of the schedule. And I was like, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have nothing to do and nobody's going to care what I do because proselyting, it's so structured. And so I came home and for a while I was kind of in limbo because getting my service sites figured out was a little bit of a process. And I anticipated what you talked about, Elder Bird, just like being alone and like no one's really caring what I do. And it was the total opposite. When I came home, I was like so overwhelmed with love. And my bishop wanted to meet with me, and my stake president wanted to meet with me, and you guys met with me, and my new STL met with me, and my new companion met with me. And it was just so amazing. The structure of it all is so inspired because it is just more people to love you, because coming home early is so difficult. But it doesn't have to be like a whiplash experience where everything you know about your missionary service is taken away from you. Like, it's very similar. I'm always amazed. We had a zone conference just maybe, was it last week or something? Mm-hmm. And we were just there with the other missionaries. And we were all together learning about the Savior, Jesus Christ. And it was very similar. And so I think I was scared that everything that made me a missionary would be taken away. But it's not like that at all, which is so, so inspired. Mm-hmm. I think integrated missions is so inspired. And I absolutely love it.
It is. It's so inspiring. I think back when we first were called, our missionaries weren't even allowed to wear their tags, like on public transportation until they got to their site because they didn't want them, like, wondering, people asking where their companions are. And now we're integrated, and, like, you see missionaries all the time alone and wearing name tags. And, you know, COVID kind of did that to us too. But but it's with Home MTC, it's not abnormal to see a missionary out with, you know, their name tag on. And that just gives us even more reasons for people to see the name of Christ on our name tags and ask us about that and find ways to teach, you know, other people and be that example, mm-hmm. that tag. So,
yeah, I totally agree. Even I've had that experience. There's a friend that I'm doing lessons with, the proselyting elders, and I met her because I was wearing my tag in public. Mm-hmm. And her friend asked me, you're a missionary, you have no companion, what's going on here? And I had the opportunity to explain to her, like, I'm a service missionary, I served for a while proselyting, like, my mission is a little unique and this is why. And now she's coming back to church, she's meeting with her bishop, and she's going to try and get her temple recommend back, and all because I'm allowed to wear my tag.
That's exactly so true. Yeah. And we've had countless experiences with people, you know, just wearing their tag and and being served first. And oftentimes, you know, we always say service missionaries are the hands of the Lord, teaching missionaries are the voice of the Lord. And I've seen it time and time again work that way. And we know Ammon, he was a servant before king was ready to be taught. So,
yeah, I completely agree. And just to finish off, there's a question that all the guests on the podcast are asked. And the question is, what is an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker?
So, for me, I remember meeting with we met with a sister missionary who was a transfer, and we met with her and her dad and the stake president, and she was struggling really bad. And she had transferred home, and she just felt like she just didn't know if she wanted to serve or not. And she was a great sister, and she was just really dealing with a lot of issues. And I still remember this, and she was just crying and just really struggling with life. And you know, obviously we wanted her to serve a mission because we knew that this would be the best thing for her. And I just got the prompting from the Holy Ghost that said, Elder Bird, you need to ask her this question. And the question was to her is, do you want to serve a mission? Is this something you want to do? And she replied, yes, I do. And I said, then you need to serve our Heavenly Father and you need to do this. And she's told us over and over again, even now when we talk to her, that question of, do you want to serve your Heavenly Father? And she had to think about that. And she knew that that's what she wanted to do, but she just didn't know if she could. And I think that it made her think. And so for me, as far as a peacemaker, I feel like my Heavenly Father, through the Holy Ghost, wanted me to ask that question so that I could help her be at peace. And I will tell you that she was an amazing missionary, and I love her to death, and she finished out her mission. And, you know, now she's married, and she has peace in her life. And just recently, her mother passed away with a car accident. And I know that the things that she did on her mission and how she finished her mission gave her peace, but I think it helped her when her mother passed away as well. And so, again, it's not me. It's my Heavenly Father that helped me. I guess helped me help her, I guess. So, yeah.
That's what I'm asking. That was so good, Elder Bird. Mm-hmm. So the question was, what is an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker?
I feel like there's been multiple times in my life when I've had to be a peacemaker or had the opportunity to be able to be part of it, being a peacemaker. But I feel like a lot of times in this calling, I've not only seen missionaries broken, but parents broken, because they are so distraught about, they care so much about their son or daughter and they see them struggling. And I've had a parent, you know, parents on Zoom meetings who don't want to show their faces on the camera, or who have said, you can't come talk to me tonight. I'm just not ready for that. You know, I'm not ready to talk about this situation with my son or daughter yet. And so we've had opportunities to, you know, through a lot of prayer, fasting, temple, going to the temple, asking our Heavenly Father to help us try to figure out how to best help these parents with this too, because their sons and daughters are absolutely not failures. And they're not failures as parents either. Like, this is a divinely inspired program, and I've seen the Lord's hand in it. And I've had missionaries tell me, I know this is my plan and my path. I just didn't realize it at the time. And through our Savior, they've come to know that this was the path for them. And one of my first weeks in this calling, I was at the church office building, learning about the program, and a sister missionary talked to me, and she just said, we're all going through something different, but when we come together, miracles happen. And it's so true. I see that time and time again, and I know that it's through our Savior that miracles do happen if we let Him into our lives and serve Him with all our hearts, might, mind, and strength.
Oh, thank you, guys. I'm so glad that you guys came today. I love you both so much. You guys are amazing. You're going to be sorely missed in the Salt Lake City West Mission.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.